It is the battle of all battles for the U.S. economy. On the one side, well, it's a month with 28 days, so you know that means the payroll report for it was red hot, and the March figure did not disappoint. But that just means the discrepancy with the household survey gets even larger. In fact, it is now just ridiculous. And that's with the household survey figure for March actually rebounding too. Same economy, completely different worlds. So how do we know which one to follow? We should always be skeptical of every single data series. Because of that, we always need to look around to see what other evidence is saying. And that's just what we're going to do here in this video. We're going to see if we can verify the one or the other, maybe even neither. So we've got lots of comparisons to make to see where the balance of evidence is really tilting. The data, the market reaction, everything. A good place to start is with the current figures, what was just released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics yesterday on Friday. And what they showed was, as far as the payroll report goes, another huge month, far exceeding every single expectation. 303,000 jobs gained, at least according to the CES figures. That's up from 270,000 revised in February. That was, of course, revised lower, but just a little bit this time by 5,000. And in fact, the January number was actually revised higher, so the BLS actually did some positive revisions for once. And over the last 6 months, the establishment survey has increased by 1.5 million. That's a relatively healthy pace. On the other side, though, the household survey, as I mentioned, that actually rebounded. It increased by just less than 500,000 in the month of March. It had been down in both January as well as February, and it had been down pretty substantially in the months preceding this. But this is not abnormal for the household survey. Even during recessions, you'll see occasionally months that will increase while the recession is raging all around it. For example, you see big positives in the household survey in July and September 2001. The latter of those months was 605,000 gained, even though the recession and everything else that was happening in September 2001. So the household survey tends to be more noisy, which is why most people focus on the establishment survey. But you need to take the household survey not on a month-by-month basis, but over a specific time period. And over the last 6 months in the household survey, employment has been down by a net 84,000. And the reason for that is, on the one side, part-time jobs have absolutely surged here. In the month of March specifically, part-time jobs were up 691,000. And over the last 6 months, part-time jobs are up 1.28 million. And actually, over the last 5 months, it's 1.9 million. There was a drop in October, a substantial one. However, it's not as if the payroll numbers are surging here on the household side, or the employment numbers are surging on the household side. Because as I mentioned, the net household survey over the last 6 months is indeed negative, which again is a recession signal. And the reason it's negative is because for all the part-time jobs that may have been gained, a lot of full-time jobs have been lost. In the month of March specifically, full-time jobs were actually down just a fraction, just 6,000. But still, what that means is full-time jobs are still likely declining. And that December crash in full-time jobs was actually real. There is absolutely something going on with employers here. They are converting tons of full-time jobs into part-time. In fact, over the last 6 months, as part-time jobs have increased by 1.28 million, full-time jobs have fallen by 1.21 million, which suggests that companies are cutting back hours. Whether or not they're cutting back workers, that's the question that keeps coming up. A hiring freeze, a reduction in work and hours, but maybe not a reduction in overall employees. So when we look back at the last 12 months, the CES or payroll numbers, those have increased by just less than 3 million. Again, that's a pretty decent rate, especially for an economy that's supposed to be slowing down. That's better than any year up until between 2009 and 2020. However, the household survey, that one only increased 642,000 over the last 12 months, and all of that was obviously in the first 6 months of that look-back period. That is an enormous difference, a huge difference, that looks at the labor market and economy in such a different way that it's, again, maybe the same economy, but these are very different worlds. And the thing is, this kind of major discrepancy over this long of a period of time, that's something new. Of course, the media reaction to the payroll report is as expected. It's all about the one and not the other. As I talked about in a recent video about the ISM, the reaction to the ISM numbers, manufacturing versus non-manufacturing, everybody focused like a laser on the manufacturing because it looked a little bit better, looked a little inflationary. Meanwhile, the non-manufacturing, like the household survey, said the economy is in major trouble. And that's exactly what, again, the media reaction to the payroll report. Here's just one example. Stocks rise as jobs data show U.S. is powering ahead. Is it really powering ahead, though? On the one side, yeah, according to these CES numbers, it seems to be doing just that. But the household survey is completely different. It's not powering ahead. The U.S. economy is in major trouble, according to the household survey. Recession signals all over the place. And of course, the market reaction, not really much reaction at all. Interest rates in the Treasury market are up a few basis points, but as I mentioned in another recent video, rates haven't really done anything for the last seven, now almost 8 weeks. Despite all of the red-hot economic numbers that are coming in, including the payroll reports, the bond market is saying we don't see anything that has changed. So that just raises the question, is the bond market looking at the payroll report and thinking that's just what the BLS does with this thing? It comes out hot every time, so maybe we should ignore it. Are market participants looking instead at the household survey and saying, that one seems to be more consistent with what the weight of evidence that we're seeing in the marketplace is telling us? Well, that's what we need to find out here. Which one is more likely to be more accurate? Is it the household survey or is it the establishment survey? But before we get into making all of these comparisons, I do want to remind you, Eurodollar University is having its spring sale. That is still ongoing for a few more days longer. Here's your chance to try out either a Eurodollar University membership or the daily briefing on us. First month free, cancel anytime, no risk to you. We're also offering tremendously discounted annual rates on both of those. We've got also big savings on the deep dive analysis, or if you want to package all of those together, some of our best deals ever. All the information about the Eurodollar University Spring Sale, that's at our website, eurodollar.university. So let's start making some comparisons here. Let's look at some other data sources to see if they line up with either the payroll report, the CES, or the household survey, the CPS. And we'll start with Challenger Gray and Christmas statistics on announcements of job cuts. Because the Challenger job cut figure for the month of March just came out this week, and it was a little bit higher than it had been in the previous 2 months. Job cut announcements are elevated. In fact, they've been elevated since really the end of 2022, with a little bit of a dip in the middle of last year during the disinflation. But according to their latest statistics, in the month of March, there were 90,300 job cuts being announced. Again, that's the third straight month, and really over the last year, you can see layoff announcements are much higher than they had been in the preceding period. In fact, you go back further than that. Go back over the last, say, 14, 15 years to 2010, during the 2010s recovery period, almost recovery period, you see that job cut announcements are indeed elevated to the normal trend or where the baseline had been. So then we'll bring in another data point to see if we can corroborate what those job cut announcements seem to be indicating. And here we'll use the ISM Manufacturing Employment Index, because the Manufacturing Employment Index is exactly what we're after in this comparison. It tells us, it surveys whether or not companies are adding workers or subtracting them, sort of like job cuts being announced. Keep in mind, this is on an inverted scale, which means that for the ISM number, up is down and down is up. So if you see the number, the line going up, that means the ISM Manufacturing Employment Index is actually declining. And there is some pretty good consistency with the Challenger job cut announcements. It lines up really well, really going back to 2010. The 2021 issue we'll keep coming back to, where the ISM numbers don't look as robust as any of these other statistics. But by and large, even go back further to 1999, there's a pretty good fit here between the ISM Manufacturing's Employment Index and the Challenger Gray and Christmas job cut announcements. So let's take the ISM number and then put it against the payroll report, the establishment survey. This one is not inverted, so the ISM Manufacturing Employment Index is as you would normally see it, so down is down in this case. And you can see the ISM Manufacturing Employment Index lines up pretty good, pretty well with the payroll reports. Up until around Eurodollar number 3, which is in the middle 2010s, there's wide consistency and sustained consistency between the two series, which suggests that the manufacturing numbers were picking up more weakness than maybe the payroll reports overall had been in these variations throughout the 2010s, the Eurodollar cycles. Those were a little bit more manufacturing oriented than, say, the overall economy, but that's why they got to be near recessions. You see the same thing again in Eurodollar number 4 in 2018 and 2019, especially the end of 2019. But then there's very little correlation post-pandemic. So good fit between the ISM employment number and the payroll report up until the middle 2010s. And then something seems to have changed in the aftermath of 2020 and the pandemic. So let's look at maybe the ISM's non-manufacturing index. So we'll take first the ISM's non-manufacturing index and compare that with, again, Challenger job cuts. Now we're back to the inverted scale for the ISM's non-manufacturing employment. And again, you got a pretty good fit before 2009, a little bit less variation on the services side of employment than the manufacturing side, according to the ISM. So there's less of a fit with job cuts, which suggests that many of those job cuts that happened in the 2010s were manufacturing were more oriented toward the manufacturing industries. But then once again, we see with the ISM's non-manufacturing employment index, there's that 2021 problem where they're not as robust as the payroll numbers or the job cut numbers falling, but then there's a better fit in 2023 and 2024. They are confirming and corroborating the weakness that the job cut announcements are picking up over the last year plus. So let's compare the ISM's non-manufacturing to the payroll numbers. The employment index, we're back to the non-inverted scale, so down is down on this chart. And the ISM's non-manufacturing employment number is a really good fit all the way through 2021. So through the dot-com cycle, through the Great Recession cycle, through the lackluster middle 2010s, the Silent Depression, all the way through up until 2021. There was a discrepancy late in 2017 through the end of 2018 where the ISM was actually much stronger than the payroll numbers, but by and large, they're mostly in agreement about the state of the labor market. But then again, huge, huge difference in 2022, extending into late 2023 and now 2024. So is the ISM wrong here? Are these employment indexes, both manufacturing and the non-manufacturing, are they out to lunch? Is it really the government's BLS payroll reports that are more accurate? Well, let's bring in the household survey. So we'll line up the ISM's non-manufacturing index that was relatively well correlated with the establishment survey up until 2021. We'll compare the ISM to the household survey. Now, obviously, the household survey is far noisier, but it still fits really well, just like the CES numbers do with the ISM. And that means that the establishment survey and the household survey were relatively well correlated up until 2021. They were really well aligned with that, as well as these ISM numbers, apart from the variation in the manufacturing, as well as the layoff figures. What we're saying is that something really changed in 2021 and 2022 in particular. The household survey is obviously much weaker. That's really when the discrepancy really starts to show up in 2022. And then the first half of 2023, it gets even larger. And then the second half of 2023, it's like completely different data points. And you see the big change in the household survey that is captured in both of the ISM numbers as well as the Challenger job cuts. And the best fit with the ISMs really from the middle of 2023 forward, this period that we keep coming back to. The household survey suggests recession. The ISM numbers suggest, at the very least, weak employment. Elevated job cuts, even if the job cut numbers aren't exactly to the level we would be consistent with full-blown recession, they do suggest more weakness than actual strength. So what we keep coming back to here in all of these comparisons and all the data is that the establishment survey is the outlier. So we had another blowout payroll report for March, which is nothing new that seems to be happening with regularity. And the market reaction to it was sort of a shrug of the shoulders. Both stocks as well as bonds said, okay, that's just what happens. Seems like we're getting normalized to what seems to be an overstated case for the labor market. Because on the other side, we have pretty much everything else. The ISM numbers, both manufacturing and non-manufacturing for employment, they're far more in agreement with the household survey more recently than the establishment survey, which should be unnerving because they were all in agreement pretty much up until 2021. What changed in 2021? Well, I think it's the fact that the establishment survey is having enormous problems with the pandemic and post-pandemic environment. And therefore, because of the way it's constructed, is essentially it's forced to overstate the job market because of how it statistically smoothed itself out. It tries to zero in on a trend and then stick there. But if that trend incorporates the huge increases in 2021 in the first half of 2022, it wants to continue to stay that way, at least until the statisticians declare a cycle and then allow it to then show more variation. But one after another, the household survey, the ISMs, job cuts, and a couple other data series we didn't have a chance to mention here, though I have gone over in the deep dive analysis like productivity, they all argue for a weaker labor market. So again, the establishment survey is the outlier here. And while the balance of the other data doesn't suggest the U.S. economy is in really bad shape, they do show on a consistent basis the labor market is far, far weaker than what the headline number is all about. And of course, the headline number is the only one most people pay attention to. And so their view of the labor market doesn't incorporate all this other stuff that used to all agree on everything. Something changed in 2021, and it wasn't just the economy. It's the same difference in reaction to the labor market numbers that we saw ISM versus ISM earlier this week. That's the video I've got linked below. Check out Eurodollar University's spring sale. As always, I do thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you to Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.